I don't know technically it is. It's not like you have in the bank account.
Yeah. No. Let's keep in mind that we are not counting like we used to before reimbursement and reimbursement. So if we get that, that will be put on top.
That'd be extra, yeah.
And also, one of the things that is not in the report is what we are spending on the cafeteria, the teaming partners are paying us back for that in the next 2 to 5 years too.
Okay.
So there will be money coming there too.
Now the cafeteria is going to be a big revenue, and will that infusion be an infusion on carryover dollars, and will that help offset some of the staff costs for MDE?
Well, let me explain how in general this work comes. We charge set aside to the blind vendor, depending how much the blind vendor makes, not to the teaming partners. This situation is a little different. The teaming partners will pay us back the equipment between 3 to 5 years, okay. The $400,000. The other $50,000 is for vending machines, okay?
Okay?
But the contract between the teaming partner and the vendor, the blind vendor is going to start making around $52,000 for the first few years until the teaming partner pay the equipment back. And after that, the blind vendor will start making 10% more, up to 50% of all the profit. So according to the estimates, they will be making between $400,000 to $500,000 after the equipment is being paid.
Wow.
So the blind vendor should be making between $200,000 to $250,000. So the blind vendor will pay set aside out of those $200,000. Okay, so we're talking about $20,000 per year,
yeah,
around that much, from that particular cafeteria. And then the vending machines, we expect that we will get some from there too.
Well, it's good to hear. I think this is exciting times. I go to national convention, and you hear these vendors that are making really good money because they have
big
good locations like we're going to have here.
Correct.
It's exciting.
Well, and this blind person will be supervising like 20 employees.
Right, that's a big responsibility.
It is. One of the things that I would like to do in the future, like I mentioned to you a year or year and a half ago, as I've been talking to legislators, I like to get some funds from the state to cover a staff member position for MBE. But that's something that I will be working in the future. Because the federal government does not, they just mandate that we do the rental cheaper, but they don't give any money for that. Okay?
Well, I just have an overall comment. I recognize all the work that you have done developing those relationships with the senators. I think that's going to yield great short-term results, but also I think there's some long-term opportunities too. As we demonstrate to them, you know, it's a great investment. And the senators that are sponsoring, I think you found the right ones that are very disability friendly.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll be, the additional funding would not have happened without those relationships that you have established and the consumer groups have, you know, helped build upon. But that takes time and effort. And
yeah.
I think that'll be good not only short term but long term, because we need to let them know that services for the blind is a great investment and will return well to the state of Nebraska.
Oh, thank you. And like I tell staff members, they make my job easier because I cannot persuade the legislators if we don't have the good services to show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to those hearings and it was heartwarming to see the different, it wasn't you talking that mattered, it was the testimonies of the people that have received services and how it impacted their life.
There were two seniors who came, they were saying, we want to come, but can you guys provide transportation? And technically speaking, we cannot.
Yeah.
And do you know that there was snow, it was very cold.
It was a bad day.
Yeah. And they talked to each other and they said, we are calling a Lyft or Uber, but we are going to testify. They were passionate. because they got good services, and they want others to get those services. One of them, after they testified, came and just gave me a hug, you know, wishing me good luck. And it was very tender, very yeah. nice. And then one student, school was closed because of the weather. Well, he says, now that there is no school, I can go and testify. Yeah. He came to testify. So
that was great.
It was powerful.
Yeah, it really was.
Carlos?
Yes.
I guess I have a few more questions about order selection.
Okay.
And the 10 people that are on the waiting list currently. Since order selection began, I believe, was March 1st, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Have we been able to, has any cases been closed, and then those, been anybody on the list been able to be moved into an active case?
No. Okay. And we will not be able to do that. We estimate maybe until October, the new fiscal year.
Okay.
We hope to get some realignment, and with that we can reevaluate, and also when we get the older blind funds and we use some of that for some of the expenses, we can assign some of that funds to VR so we can get off either order of selection or start serving those on the waiting list. Is that correct, Carol?
Yes.
Thinking about?
Yep.
October, yeah.
I'm sorry, I guess that's totally a surprise to me that you would even suggest, and it's exciting that you are, but that you would even suggest that we would be off of order of selection. I guess I expected this to be a pretty long-term deal, that we were there and that we would be spending
yeah.
every quarter. I think we, in the past, you described it that every quarter you would sit down and as a team and determine, okay, we've had this many case closures, and this is what the budget looks like, and how many people can we bring in off of the waiting list?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned, because I said either or, meaning I'm hoping not necessarily will happen, but if and when we get the older blind services and we use a lot of that money, at least 50% of that, on a lot of things that we are already paying, like I mentioned, I keep using the example of the center. We spend on the center close to, I think, $600,000.
Right.
If we spend the same money if we have one client or if we have 11.
Right.
And if we have five of those who are older blind, we can spend 40 to 50% of those $600,000 on that. It's just an example. And
right.
free up those VR funds to go and for VR clients.
Okay.
But again, that's only just thinking out loud. Please don't think that this is just what we are thinking.
It's not a done deal thing.
It's not, because we
yeah.
need, you know, Kat can tell me this, you know. One time she was saying, oh, yeah, we have extra money, just tell me how to spend it. And then 3 months later, we don't have the money.
Yeah.
So we, because it goes that way, you know, all of a sudden, no, this is moving, no, we're not getting this, or this is happening.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that I'm not giving
sure,
you know, too much of hope, but I'm being a little optimistic.
Well, I think that's good as a goal to get off of order selection. But
that's my goal.
We
yeah.
can.
That's the goal, yeah.
Absolutely. We want to meet people and serve them as soon as we can.
Exactly. And that's why I don't want to go crazy and just start hiring people, because
right.
first of all, the clients first.
Was this number essentially just right away when people right there at the beginning of March, this 10, or are we added some more in April and even now in May? Is this number slowly creeping up?
Very slowly. I think by the end of March we got only 8. So
okay.
in April we got 2 more.
Okay.
Is that correct? That's what
it was.
Measurement.
It was 5 each month.
5 each month.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then, in the meantime, while they're on order of selection, just refresh my memory. I know some of these things we've talked about in the order selection general meeting, but I know we cannot provide staff time and things like that for them at that point, even while they're there. I mean, that would kind of, it's the reason for the order selection. Are there resources that we're able to point them to in the meantime that they're able to utilize? I mean, I guess it kind of depends on what they're coming to us for. But certainly, whether it be training, you know, we spend some time doing training videos that we have available for people. There's certainly things that we could be telling them about, you know, resources that are available to them, like right. Library services and Newsline and, consumer groups, places that they can go to get services, and or not necessarily services, but to get assistance in certain key areas, and things that they could look at and review while they're on the waiting list. Are we providing them some information?
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, like I know I've heard different things, like you're going to point them to the resources that are available, whether it's how to get a MOBI application or, you know, different things. You're going to do that regardless.
That's part of the requirement from RSA that we need to come up with a referral kind of plan.
Okay.
When we get it to order selection.
Okay, so they essentially get like a...
It's a packet.
A packet, I was going to say a brochure, a packet, something that says, you know... we know we can't work with you directly right yet, but while you're on the waiting list, here's some things that you might find helpful.
Yeah, it's a ton of stuff, Mike. Each district developed their own, and I have kind of one big statewide one.
Okay.
It has transportation, medical, employment, housing, food.
Gotcha.
All sorts of resources available, in that particular area of the state.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in the interest of time, we're running a little bit behind, but I'm just going to ask Becky or Robert any last questions before we move on to the agenda.
Nope, you guys gave the good questions and received some good answers.
Yeah. I'm going to take a little chairman liberties, but I don't know who looks at the public record, but... You know, it's been a difficult 6 months, and a lot of things have happened. And I know there's people out there that are concerned, and that we've tried to answer their questions. We had to lay off some staff, and that's always difficult. I know that we're doing everything we can to get a handle on our new financial system situation because of the funding has changed, and we're going to get I know the commission's leadership is going to continue to make good decisions, and the board is going to continue to watch them closely so that we can not have other budget not have layoffs like this in the future. You made some significant cuts, but that had to happen, and it's hopefully it's a one-time type of deal. So, but next on the list is public comment. And is there any public comment that people would like to share to the board? Oh, good, that helps us get back on schedule. Okay. Next on the agenda is Newsline update, and I know we got a report. So
it's going to be on the public record. The new Newsline guy, person comment. So.
I guess a lot of times, Chairman Bolger.
Yes.
We just if there's some important things to highlight, we do, and of course the rest of the report will be in the minutes. Something that I would like to highlight quickly is the fact that we are transitioning to a new Newsline coordinator. Congratulations to Brian Baldwin. He is a certified O&M instructor, and he was able to find gainful employment at the Colorado Center for the Blind, and so he's moving on, and congratulations to him. And our new Newsline coordinator is Kimberly Sherboy from Kearney, Nebraska.
And I read the report. Is she in position already?
It's a position of transition. Okay. I'd say officially, yes, but she's certainly still transitioning some things from Brian to her, and certainly leaning on Brian with questions and stuff like that a little bit still.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at the Older Blind Conference, and I can't tell you how many older people were excited about the opportunity to be able to listen to the newspaper. So it does serve a very, very valuable purpose. So we need to, you know, it's a valuable service, and I'm glad MMP supports that. So thank you.
So anyway, I just wanted to thank Brian for his service for the last year or so, and then welcome Kimberly. So.
Well, good.
They just really have some good people working at the Radio Talking Book Service. You know, I just really like the crew that's in there now. Jane that's running it, and you know, the blind guy that's doing the, you know, the work with the all the equipment, Ryan Ostatowski, and other support staff there. Really have a good crew.
Yeah, there are some good support services out there that we're associated with. And I just saw a lot of people at the, I was at the Older Blind Conference as a vendor, and it was just neat to, a number of people were very excited about some of the things that they were exposed to because of the Older Blind Conference. You know, I'm probably speaking a little bit out of turn, but I hope that we can do this more often, because I think that not only will some of the people want to come back, they'll invite other people that they know that are locations. So, very good. Okay, next on the agenda is CAP complaints, the client assisted program, and
there was only one complaint. It was about the self-employment support. We supported the client for several years. In general, the client wanted more, but wasn't doing what we were expecting, and wanted more financial support. And we finally said, you know, they need to be showing different things. Keep confidentiality, because if I keep providing details, I will say basically the name of the person. But in general, the client assistant ruled in favor of the commission decision.
Sure. And what's important is there's a third party, you know, that's going to act in everybody's interest, so that people do get their services if they would want. It's not a, I don't think a complaint's a bad thing. I think it's an empowering thing. So, so I think it's great that we have that process. So that's the only thing we had on CAP complaints. Who is the CAP person right now?
Jerry Bryan.
Okay.
He comes to our supervisor meeting.
Okay. Okay, I had a chance. I couldn't remember the name, but I had a chance to meet him recently. We have some annual business that the board has to do under new business. And this is discuss and act upon the approval of the executive director's time certification.
If you give me just a moment, I will bring up the verbiage for that.
Thank you, Mike. We have to read it for reading.
Well, we need to. Essentially, you're going to make. We're going to make a motion on this.
Okay.
I have it too, Mike.
Do you? Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
If you'd like me to, I could, I
Please,
would
Mike.
Be happy to read this and then
yeah.
maybe make it a form of a motion.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I would move that the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves the continued use of the current method being used for the approval of the executive director's personal activity report. The director will submit his or her personal activity report via email to the entire board for their review. The report is automatically approved unless questions or concerns are raised by the by a commission board member.
I have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Did I hear that okay? I'll do roll call. Becky?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And Mark says yes. While we're approving annual approvals, we need to discuss and act upon the approval of employee in-state and out-of-state travel.
Okay, I have that one up as well.
I would like that, Mike. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, so I would move that the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves all employee in-state business travel and or out-of-state business travel within 60 miles of the border of Nebraska in any adjoining state with relative, which relates directly to the provision of services to a client, i.e. employer visit, medical appointment, service referral, employment interview, etc. All other out-of-state business travel is approved if granted approval by the executive director of the agency. This motion would be in effect until the next meeting of the Board of Commissioners after April 1st, 2020.
All right, well, thank you, Mike, for that motion. Can I have a second? Becky seconded that. I'll do roll call. Becky? Robert?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And Mark says yes. Thank you. And then we have one more. And this has to do with discuss and act upon the setting of extra face-to-face meetings to balance out the requirement. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the standard business. That's a separate discussion. But this is the next item on the agenda. But discuss and act upon the setting of an extra face-to-face meeting to balance out the requirements for meeting types during the year.
Carol, would you, I'm sorry, can you answer
Mark? No, you're fine. Go ahead, Mike, because you're very involved in this.
Carol had some thoughts about this that she was mentioning to me this morning.
Well, I was curious, because the NBE licensee committee meets quarterly, and it's always face-to-face, and it's still part of the commission umbrella, because
right.
we have to follow the Open Meeting Act and everything. And so I just didn't know, could those face-to-face meetings count, you know, for the commission meetings.
Does
if
the I can't legally say that, but the my knee-jerk reaction to that is that it's a different if it's a different board, it's a different body of layer or group, if you will. Which confuses me a little bit because the meeting that or no I'm sorry the way that the board the way that the out of or a board of selection meeting threw us off was only because there was three or more of us that, of the board that attended.
Okay, I see.
If it had only been two of us that had attended,
yeah.
It would not have counted as a meeting of the board, and we would not have run into this problem. And so I appreciate you're thinking outside the box.
No, I like that too.
Never mind then.
I will claim, I will not, I'm not the representative of the Attorney General's office, so, but that would not be my understanding.
And the reasoning we're doing this is because of the video conferencing.
Right.
Correct.
Yes.
Only half of our meetings can be video conferenced. And we, because we have,
Mark Clarell in Scottsbluff area.
Yeah, Chad, yeah.
Mark Hull, yeah.
Yeah, Chad.
Yeah.
That we try to keep our winter meetings available so that they can, that Becky and Chad can participate in those remotely and not have to traverse the state in what could be very inclement weather.
Well, can I say this? This is May and our next meeting is in April. Do you think maybe we can give it some kind of ruling on that between?
Our next meeting is in August.
August, yeah.
It starts in May.
Yeah, I had it close. I'm going back.
So the Attorney General, I believe Carlos already ruled that meeting counted, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to balance this out. We have to come up with another meeting.
Yeah.
Before what date?
Before the August. Before the end of the year.
Yeah, before the end of the year. So I don't know if we could talk to the Attorney General and see if a vendor's meeting would be applicable. I'm sorry, NDE meeting. Or we should just schedule a meeting that would conduct business as a commission board and count as an additional meeting.
We could certainly ask.
Yeah.
Probably have it within the Lincoln, Omaha area,
yeah.
So those three of you would be able to.
Yeah.
If we have to do this, I'm envisioning that we'll have Mark, Robert, and I will just show up.
Yeah.
We'll meet for an hour. We'll get an update on order selection and maybe a budget report, kind of a briefer version of this.
Now, would the public need to be invited to that as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like the order selection meeting we had. Is public invited?
In the order of selection meeting, there was no minutes approved. There was nothing from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it was considered because there were three of you there.
Correct.
And one of them was promoted, two. In general, the meeting was promoted. But it was considered one because it was open to the public and we were talking about the meeting policy.
Watch out
for meetings.
Yeah, I was this far from not going.
So as long as at the APE meeting we talk about meeting policy for the agency rather than they just report, it will work.
Say that again. I was thinking as you were talking.
No, as long as the agenda for the APE meeting, they are making policy for the agency, and you are there, you don't even have to talk to the meeting. It will be counted.
Okay, I would.
It will be the same day.
I would think that'd be the case, and I would.
Personal selection.
I think it's a good policy for the board to kind of be under, have a familiarity with the MBE business. So I don't think it would be a productive use of our time.
Yeah, and we can find a way for sure that we have some kind of documentation to go over so the public and everybody can give their input.
Okay.
Yeah.
When is the next meeting?
Thursday.
When?
Thursday.
We need 30 days notice, so it would have to be the next one.
And maybe quarterly, right?
Yes. I mean, it has been published publicly already. For the commissioners?
Like the order of selection,
So if
the next one will be in August in Omaha. The Thursday it's in Lincoln.
Do you know when the one in Omaha is? That a Friday or a Saturday, or have you said it
yet?
The
committee's been changing things around, so sometimes it's Friday, sometimes it's Thursday.
So this Thursday, we will know.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's in Lincoln, right?
Yes, this one is.
And what time?
10.
I guess I could show up and. I don't know what you guys' schedules are, and if you.
I could probably attend. Are they, is it a Are they doing any kind of conferencing with it, audio or video?
No.
No.
Oh.
It's face-to-face.
It's face-to-face, okay.
Face-to-face, yep.
Okay.
Robert, what's your question?
Oh, I suppose Bonnie just has a bunch of doctor's visits that she has to go to that relates to all the cancer stuff. It's kind of a follow-up visit, so I suppose, you know, it's rural and unnecessary for me to be there. I mean, I just ought to go with her, but it's not as though something's actually going on. It's just a meeting, you know. So I probably could.
Because we have an agenda, but we could add items up to 24 hours
in
advance.
And I try to go as many of those as I can, so I think it would be good. Well, should we try that? I don't know if we have to make a formal decision, because do we have to make this in a form of a motion, would you think?
No.
I don't think so, because for the order of selection, nobody did you a
situation.
Right.
Showed up. And if it counted against us because we just all three of us showed up,
yeah.
The fact that all three of us are just showing up to this one at a and it is a face to face. There's no audio or video conferencing involved. It should straighten us out.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, but maybe I missed this person. We really don't have to honor that 30-day notice.
Well, it was published.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the NB meeting was published already.
Yeah.
We have to follow the Open Meeting Act. Well, the licensees have to follow that too. So it's already been published publicly.
When was it determined that the NDE's licensee committee has to follow the Open Meeting Act?
I forget how this came up, but I looked into it.
Okay.
And you know, read the whole Open Meeting Act.
Yeah.
Worked with our Attorney General designee.
Okay.
And all that, and it came back, yes, we do, and, you know, because they were doing telephone conference
calls.
That's
why I was worried, yes.
And we found, because it came up, and that's why I looked into it and stuff, and so we weren't able to do those anymore.
Right.
And Mark was,
involved.
He was involved in that when all this was happening.
Okay.
And they were not doing teleconferencing, they were just calling in from
the
whole
calling, area. Yeah.
What's teleconferencing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't have, the public didn't have an opportunity to
no,
come, but
it wasn't
my house, you know, wherever I was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, what's your focus topic? Do you have one for training?
We don't do training afterwards? Yeah,
Maybe.
It's over the P&L. P&L meter readings and reader driver logs.
Okay.